Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Welcome to Hapae Kaiwa Podcast with Jun Senesak, episode 470. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Jun here with Hapae Kaiwa. I'm excited to welcome Nobu Yamada in today's interview. He has been teaching English for over 20 years, helping students of all ages and backgrounds, from little kids to adults, business professionals, and fellow English instructors. You might have heard of his best-selling book series, 中学英語一つ一つ分かりやすく, which has been the top seller for the past 10 years. In today's interview, we will cover a range of topics. We will start with his unique upbringing and how he became a bilingual speaker. Then, we will talk about choosing your own path versus the one laid out for you. Why you don't have to speak English like a native speaker, whether English learned in Japanese middle school is enough to converse in English, and a very effective method to become a good English speaker and think in English without having a conversation partner. Through my conversation with Nobu, I discovered that we shared a deep passion for teaching English to Japanese learners. As an English learner, I'm confident that you'll find plenty of valuable insights in our conversation. 今日のインタビューは山田信彦さんをお迎えします。信さんは20年以上にわたって英語を教えており、小さなお子さんから大人、ビジネスパーソン、英語講師仲間まであらゆる年齢層の生徒さんをサポートしています。過去10年間トップセラーを記録しているベストセラー、中学英語一つ一つわかりやすくシリーズはご存知の方も多いのではないでしょうか。今日のインタビューでは様々なトピックを取り上げます。まず、彼のユニークな生い立ちとバイリンガルになったいきさつについてお話しします。そして、自分の道を選ぶことと与えられた道を選ぶこと、ネイティブスピーカーのように英語を話す必要がない理由、日本の中学校で習った英語だけで英語で会話することができるのかどうか、そして、会話相手がいなくても一人だけで英語が話せるようになり、英語で考えることができるようになるための非常に効果的な方法についてお話しします。ノブさんとの会話を通して、私たちは日本人学習者に英語を教えたいという深い情熱を共有していることが分かりました。英語を学ぶ皆さんなら、私たちの会話からたくさんの貴重な情報を見つけることがきっとできるでしょう。I hope you enjoy my conversation with Nobu Yamada.
Hey Nobu, what's going on? How are you doing today?
Hey, how's it going, Jun? Thanks so much for having me on your show.
I'm super excited to have you. I've heard a lot about you, not only from my English learners who follow me on Hapae Kaiwa, but I think what stands out to me more than anything else is that a lot of people who teach English in Japan have always said to me, you have to connect with Nobu because I feel like you guys have a lot in common. And that was, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago when I was living in Japan.
So
it's been a long time coming. I feel like we are finally here. It took me 4 or 5 years to finally get the courage to reach out to you and be like, hey, let's make this podcast happen.
So we were having this chat before, you know, starting this interview, and just like right off the bat, it felt like I've known you years now. So it's definitely, I'm very happy to finally connect. I've known your stuff for a while too. I was always very impressed and I liked your stuff. What I found very, what I really liked about your stuff was that your kindness basically towards your students, just like trying to explain concepts very clearly in a way that they would be able to understand and appreciate. And I just felt you must be like this really kind guy, you know?
Well, that's very flattering. Thank you. Yeah.
It really showed in your teaching. And so in that way, I was always hoping that we would have a chance to hook up and do something together. So now here we are.
Here we are. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you very much, Nova. I'm very, very excited to, you know, really dive deep into our backgrounds and really just about English, right? So, you know, before we get into the interview, to my listeners, can you quickly introduce yourself so they know who you're listening to today?
Sure. Should I speak in English or in Japanese? Okay, so briefly in English.
Okay.
Hey guys, how's it going? My name is Nobu Yamada. Please just call me Nobu. I'm an English teacher and writer. I was born and raised in the States, but then I moved to Japan for college, spent some time there, like 20 years there, where I taught English to Japanese people and published some books. And now, from 3 years ago, I'm back in the United States with my family. And yeah, that's kind of where I am now.
Gotcha. ノブさんがアメリカに戻ってこようと思ったそのきっかけは何だったんですか？
二つあります。
二つ。
はい、二つあります。一つは、まあ家族、まあ妻と子供二人に海外経験をさせてあげたかったっていうことと、もう一つは僕自身のアップデートをしたかった。つまり、まあ僕は英語のネイティブであり、まあバイリンガルなんですけど、このネイティブっていうところで、まあ確かにアメリカで生まれ育ったのでネイティブなんですけど、もう20年ぐらいその時点で日本に住んでいて、この20年間アメリカを離れてて、いまだにネイティブって名乗っていいのかなって、すごくなんか、まあ、ある意味こうネイティブっていうのが恥ずかしくなってきて、で、まあいろんな英会話教材とかでアメリカ時代のね、エピソードとか話すにしても、もう20年前のネタですから、なんかちょっと、まあ単純に嫌だなと思って自分自身をアップデートしたいなと思ったんですね。英語講師として。それでまた英語圏の、まあアメリカに、実際生活する。ちょっと、旅行とかじゃなくて、やっぱり生活して。で、まあ、英語だけではなくその文化ももちろんそうですよね。うん、まあそんなわけで、まあ自分自身のアップデートと、あと家族にね、僕自身がやっぱり海外で育ってすごく、いろんな意味で良かったなと思ったので、それを与えてあげたかったという理由でアメリカに来ました。
ねえ、本当に大事ですよね。やっぱその、どれだけテクノロジーが進んで、インターネットで情報収集できても、動画で見るものと、やっぱ実際にその国に住んで人と喋って肌で感じるアメリカっていうのは、やっぱ違いますよね。
違いますね。で、まあ、今これ収録してる時点でもうすぐ3年弱ぐらいなんですけど、アメリカに来てから。やっぱり振り返ると、丸2年ぐらいは、この移住して、その、こっちの生活に慣れる、本当の意味で慣れて落ち着いて暮らせるまで2年ぐらいかかった感じがしますね。やっぱり文化もそうだし、言語もそうだし、まあ家族がね、初めての海外ですから、その適用するっていうフォローとかサポートとかもそうですし、やっぱり、本当にこう、新しい経験、移住って一言でね、でもね、すごい大きなことだなっていうのは感じました。
だってある意味、ノブさんにとっては、アメリカで生まれ育ったけれど、大学以降20年間日本に住んでいて、で、こっちに戻ってきたわけなので、まあ、普通に考えたらね、その自分が生まれ育った国に帰ってきたわけ、ホームに帰ってきたはずなんだけど、でもやっぱそこには逆カルチャーショックっていうのが絶対あるはずな。20年間も離れていたらね、自分が思う、ね、なんだ、昔から覚えているアメリカと今のアメリカのやっぱ違いはあるはずだと思いますし、
特に僕がアメリカ住んでた頃は、まあ言ってみれば子供ですから、高校までですから、まあ特に自分自身は何か責任を負って何かやってるわけでもないし、一方で今はね、家庭のね、世帯主っていうかね、こう、まあ経済的にもちゃんと支えるっていうのもそうだし、精神的にもね、支えて、やっぱりこの うまくいかせる、こういろんなことがあるので、まあ、そこら辺のプレッシャーっていうのはやっぱり、まあ少なからず感じましたよね。で、やっぱりアメリカって日本に比べて、まあ日本って本当にこう何でも手取り足取りやってくれるって感じてて、一方でこっちってね、あのいろんな業者とかも、あの、約束通りにやってくれることって結構少なかったりするし、ね。だからあの、日本じゃ当たり前のこともこっちじゃ、なかなかこっちが本当にプッシュしてことを進めていかないと、それ通りにならなかったりするので、そこら辺のこうなんか強さみたいなのは、まあだいぶ最初はね、ちょっと、戸惑ったことかなと思いますね。
For sure. That was for me when I went to Japan. I'm like, wow, everything is always on time. People, when they say they're coming at 11 o'clock, they are there at 10:59.
right. Yeah.
They're waiting outside your house and then at 11 o'clock they come in, but they're usually there before the actual time. In the United States, they give you a window of time from like 10 to 1 o'clock and they usually show up like at 3 or maybe not even show up and it gets postponed to another day. So you have to be on top of it. So, Nobu, let's get into your upbringing a little bit. ちょっとこれから Nobu さんの生い立ちについて聞きたいのですが、まあ、アメリカで生まれ育ったっていうのは知っているのですが、Can you tell me a little bit more? もうちょっとそれについて喋ってくれますか？
はい。そうですね。まあ、日本人の両親のもとで、まあ、アメリカで生まれました。ニュージャージー州ですね。ニューヨークの隣のニュージャージー州で生まれて、小学校まで現地校に行ってました。で、中学校からは日本人学校に行って、当時は特にね、あの、日本人のコミュニティがもっと今よりも多くて、まあ、フルタイムの全日制の日本人学校って言ってたんですね。で、それ中学。で、高校はバイリンガルの学校行ってました。ニューヨークにあるバイリンガルの学校。で、まあ、その後、大学は日本に行きたいと思って、日本に行ったって感じですね。だから、子供の頃は家庭内は日本語、一歩外出れば英語みたいな生活で、まあ、あの、育って、で、まあ、おそらくやっぱ中高で日本人と接するようになって、すごく日本の文化とか、日本人の感性みたいなのが、まあ、僕に多分すごいフィットしたんですよね。それで、大学日本行きたいって思ったんですよね。僕4人兄弟の末っ子なんですけど、上の2人はアメリカに、残ったんですよね。ところが僕と、まあ、二つ上の兄は、なんか日本に行きたかった。アメリカで生まれ育ったのに。多分、それはもうなんか生まれ持った何かだと思うんですけど、まあ、たまたま。まあ、いずれにしても僕は日本がすごく好きで、それで日本に行って20年ぐらい、過ごして、それでこっちに帰ってきた。だから人生半々ぐらいなんですよね。今ちょうど半分アメリカと日本っていう感じで、過ごしてて、で、まあ、これから、まあ、アメリカしばらく住もうかなと。40代はアメリカかなっていうイメージがあります。
That is super interesting. I don't think I have ever met anybody like you before. I mean, I've met a lot of people who have, grown up here in the United States, went to Japanese school and English school, but most cases they go to American school during the weekday and then Japanese schools on Saturdays. And you know, in Japan, Hoshuko, right? And in Japan, they might go to international school. But in your case, what you're saying is up until elementary school, you went to an American school, just a public American school. And then in middle school, you went to a full-time Japanese school, like a private Japanese school. And then in high school, you switched on over to a bilingual high school, like an international school in a sense, I guess.
It's Keio Academy of New York. I'm not sure if you know, there's a affiliated high school. Not many people actually know this, but so there's a high school of, you know, Keio in New York.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That is...
So that's where I went.
So, like, for me, like, I was also born and raised here in the U.S., but it's almost flipped. I went to a full-time Japanese school in elementary school from
kindergarten
to fourth grade it was called Kokusai Gakuen at the time. And
okay.
During then, a lot of the Chuzains were coming from Japan, lived in the Torrance area where Toyota was know, running their main business.
Okay, I see.
Before moving to Texas. And the way of thinking at the time was not to send your kids to American school. They wanted to make sure that even though they were here in the U.S., the kids were getting the same kind of education they were getting in Japan, so that after 3 to 5 years, when they do go back to Japan, they can take the entrance exams to the middle school or high school without missing a beat, without falling behind with any of the kids. So many of the Chuzains used to send their kids to a full-time Japanese school instead of sending them to an American school. So I attended that Japanese school until I was in fourth grade. And then at fourth grade, I attended a public American school. And once a week, I went to Japanese school called Asahi Gakuen as a hoshuko, all the way until I graduated middle school.
Oh, that's very interesting. I'm curious to know why you made that switch. I guess it was your parents' decision, but why switch over at grade four?
That's a great question. And, you know, like you mentioned, it was not my decision. If anything, that was the first time in my life I really, really threw a fit and yelled at my parents saying, I am not
really
going to American school because I am
Japanese. Really?
Like at that point, I really believed that I was Japanese. But my mom spoke with a few of the teachers at the Japanese school. And her real direct question was, what age do my kids have to go to Japanese school to understand the basics of the Japanese language, like hiragana, katakana, and especially kanji? And the kokugo sensei, the tanto sensei at the time says, if your son goes to Japanese school until fourth grade, he will have a good foundation of the kanjis that you need in everyday language. And my mom just took it as it is and said, okay, well then, fourth grade it is. And so after fourth grade, she pulled me out of Japanese school and I went on to American school.
I see.
I don't know how true it is, but I think...
Well, it does make sense. And I guess so your parents just saw you guys just continuing living in the States, whereas there was, I guess, no thought of moving to Japan or anything
That's
like that.
That's correct. Exactly.
Yeah.
So, So go ahead.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, and that was my dad's mindset and my mom's mindset too, was they had no plans on ever moving back to Japan. So when my dad, who was the one that actually suggested to my mom, we should put our kids into Japanese school first, because he knew that we were planning on living in the US for the long term and English will come along as we live here. But Japanese is one of those languages where if we don't start young and educate them properly at school, they will never be able to speak, read, write, or understand it. So my dad really pushed for it. And, you know, funny story is that when I was around third or fourth grade, I could barely communicate with my dad because I couldn't speak any English. So sometimes I would have to have my mom be the translator.
お母さんに日本語で言って、お母さんがそれをお父さんに伝えるっていう、そういうコミュニケーションの仕方を子供の時にしてたね。お父さんすごい。でもそれは本当に正しい選択だったかもしれない。日本語の意味では。
Yeah.
I mean, like, one of the things I was very, I was always kind of curious and impressed about you, you know, watching your YouTube videos and, you know, your other stuff and even your writing. Your Japanese is very solid. And the reason I say this is because, you know, having grown up in the States, I was always very conscious about my Japanese or my lack of ability in Japanese. And so whenever I saw your writing, I was like, wow, Jun-san really has a good command of the nuances and the Japanese language. And I was wondering how you got that, because, you know, I knew you grew up in the States, in LA, and I knew you spent some time as an adult in Japan, but is that really enough to, you know, take you where you are? So I was like, now that I know that you spent, you know, your elementary school, you know, first 3 or 4 years in a Japanese school, it makes a lot of sense. And I think that was a great decision on your
part.
Yeah.
Now, you know, I have all my appreciation goes to my parents. And, you know, this is like one of those things when you're in middle school and I have to go to Saturday school and continue. I hated it, man. I was like, I don't want to go to Japanese school, mom. You know, none of my friends go to Japanese school. Right. Everybody's playing and I have a basketball game that I have to miss because I have to go. And I used to just really give them a hard time, especially like seventh or eighth grade when at that point I was like, I don't want to study Japanese anymore because now I'm an American kid, you know? So I kind of went through like this weird transition, but my parents pushed me and they're like, you have to graduate middle school. And now looking back at it, お父さん, お母さん, 本当にありがとうございましたってね、もう感謝の気持ちしかないですよね。
わかるわかる。 うちもそう、うちの両親もだから中学で日本人学校入れたのは多分そういう理由。 やっぱりこのまま現地校ずっと育つ。 まあそれもありかもしれないけど、やっぱり 日本人なので、やっぱり日本の文化、考え方、日本人と接すること、やっぱりそういうのすごく重視して、中学のタイミングで切り替えたんだと思います。で、やっぱり最初大変だった。日本語を家庭内でしか話してないから、いきなり、そんなに、日本語で、社会とか歴史とか、難しい。で、その日本人学校も、まさに同じで、 駐在員がそこに入れて、2、3年赴任してる間入れて、日本に戻って高校受験する。そういう場所なので、やっぱりすごくレベルが高くて、みんなも真剣で、塾とかも行ってて、そこに突然あんまり日本は話せない自分が入って、すごくまあ苦労したんだけど、まあ今振り返ると本当に良かったなっていうのは思う。
Yeah. Man, you just don't understand it when you're kids, but you know, your parents know what they're doing.
Right.
You got to believe in that. Yeah, for sure. Honestly, Nobu, I could probably talk about this topic for hours if I wanted to.
Yeah, I know.
A billion questions I don't want to ask you, you know, about the transition that you
made.
Same here. Elementary school to middle school. I feel like this is like a whole nother episode we can get into about like really what it's like to grow up. Learning, like grow up in multiple education systems. And there's like the language aspect, there's a culture aspect, there's, you know, you aspect as a person trying to identify who you are. I mean, this is a topic we could really dive deep into, but it would be like a 10-hour episode if we did that.
とりあえずね、ここで行く。そうね、とりあえずね、ひとまずね。
We might come back. But... You know, you've been teaching English for well over 20 years now, right? やっぱ僕も英語の先生として知りたいのが、ノブさんが多分いろんな選択肢があったと思うんですよ。特に大学卒業した後に英語と日本語が喋れる。で、僕も大学卒業した時に、ジュンさんはいいですよね。英語と日本語喋れるから何でもできるじゃないですかって言われるのを今でも覚えていて、 まあ正直言うと、I hated it when people said that because I didn't know what I wanted to do and I felt like I had no options at all. But everyone kept saying, Jun-san, いいですよね。日本語も英語も喋れてって。 I hated it. Anyway, digressing here a little bit. ノブさんが多分いろんな選択肢があった中、やっぱ最終的に日本人に英語を教えようと思った、そのきっかけは何だったんですか?
もう一言で言うと、多分自分を生かしたい。本当の自然体の自分を生かしたい。これがもう一番強く感じたことで、まさにジュンさんが今おっしゃった、ノブはいいよね。もう、まあ就職活動、大学3年生、4年生の時に。ノブはもう外資系でも行けるし、これもあれもできるし、何すんの?楽しみだね。言われた。だけど、 ね、就職活動って言うと、やっぱりリクナビっていうね、サイトがあって、 で、みんな自己分析とかいろいろ情報収集とかし始めてるから自分も開いてみた。リクナビアクセスしてみた。そしたらもう本当にものの5分で、あ、これちょっと無理。ちょっと自分に合わないと思って、パタって閉じて、就職活動終了。はあ、やっぱこれちょっとなんか違うなと思って。で、そこで、じゃあ、かといって、別のやりたいことが明確にあったわけじゃなかったので、まあちょっと考えようと思って。で、しばらくまあ半年間だけ、うちの大学半年単位で留年ができたので、ちょっと半年間時間稼ごうと思って、で、半年間留年して、まあその分は、自分のアルバイト代で出して、ちょっとごめん、ちょっと時間を、ね、もう少し欲しいのでってことで、で、いろいろやってるうちに、あ、やっぱり自分は、自分を生かしたい。で、自然体の自分って何って考えたときに、僕にとっては、この好きなことと、やっぱり得意なこと、ここら辺を生かしたいと思ったし、たまたま生まれ育った環境によって得た、まあ、能力とか、あるなら、やっぱそういうのも生かしたい。それも自然な自分のもう一部なので、そういったものを、やっぱり生かしたいっていう気持ちがすごい あるのに気づいて、で、その自然体の自分って言うと、そのプラスの部分だけじゃなくて、マイナスの部分もあると思って、つまり、なんか嫌なこと、もう純粋に、性格的にとか価値観的に、なんか、こういうのはすごいストレス感じるみたいな。だからこういうのは避けたい。この、やりたいこと、好き、得意なこととか、そういうのはやりたい気持ちと、こういうのは一方で、やっぱり、できるだけ避けたい。で、そう思った時に、まあ僕は昔から教えることが好きで、言葉は好きで、あと表現することとか好き、音楽とかやるんですけど、で、テニスのコーチもやったりしてたんですけど、で、あとは、日本が好き。
うん。
そこら辺組み合わせたときに、あ、英語を教えることがいいかも。で、一方で好きじゃないことは何かっていうと、なんかこう、強要されるのが好きじゃないんですよ。まあ、一言言うと自由が好きなんですけど、まあ、なんだろうね、この、そう、なんかこう、やれって言われてやるよりは、自分がやりたいからやる方が、すごいパワーが出せるタイプで、あとなんか人との衝突とかもすごい嫌なタイプで、そう思った時に、あ、じゃあ、会社みたいな、なんかリクナビ見た時にすごく多分、打ってきたのは、自分で選べない。なんか、じゃあこの会社入ったとしても、やりたい仕事できるとは限らないし、たまたま置かれたところで頑張るしかないみたいなのが、多分すごくなんか、もう、無理と思ったと思うんですよね。そこで、あ、じゃあ英語を教える。そしてなおかつ自分でやる。で、そんなわけで、大学卒業と同時にすぐ、もう、マンション一室、ちゃぶ台で、英語の教室を始めたんです。
Wow. That's an amazing story. I love that, man. 自分を生かしたい。I feel like, you know, that's a really important message for everybody to really think about, right? Because I think at the end of the day, when you are trying to decide what to do with life, you really want to be able to be your authentic self and, you know, find the value that you feel like you have and provided to the world in the best way that you can possibly can, right?
Yes. Yes. And I think that was, that was probably the most important decision I've made in my life, which is to center my life around my authentic self and to be true to that and to have the courage to be true to that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know where I got that, but that's what I came to. That's what I did. And yeah, I mean, it wasn't an easy road. I was basically broke.
Until of course, yeah.
Or 26. No, literally, I was broke. And like all my friends working at these fancy companies, they would start, buying these fancy cars, going out to like eat at these fancy restaurants. Whereas I didn't even get a credit card.
Right.
I would never forget. I applied finally, like 24 or 25. I applied for my first credit card and I was rejected. Sorry, we can't extend you this, card. And I was like, wow, just like no social credibility where I'm at right now. But, that's part of it. I didn't really take it personally. I mean, it was kind of shocking, mildly shocking, but, that's life. And, so, it wasn't easy, but I'm just very happy that I stuck with that, just my central, I guess, just mission or just like trying to stay true?
Yeah. And you know, that takes a lot of courage. It takes a lot of persistence and it takes a lot of belief in yourself that you think, you know, things are going to work out, you know, in your favor. And I can't help but wonder, you know, if your background of growing up in the United States and going to an American school up until elementary school made a difference in why you made that decision. Because I know that there is a lot of societal pressure in Japan after graduating from college to land a good job. It's kind of like a pathway that you get put on. And when you just live in Japan, this is atarimai. You don't really question that you can go off this track and do things on your own. You know, you work so hard to get into a good high school and you work so hard to get into a good college. And then you finally get an opportunity to work for a company where everybody's like, are you stupid? Why aren't you taking this? I mean, this is what the last 20 years of your life is all about. And for you to say, this is just not for me. I'm going to find my own path. Do you think your upbringing, living in the United States, like your mental state of maybe being a little bit American in that sense, played a role in the decision you made?
I think so, definitely. One thing I find about American culture and what I appreciate about American culture and just way of thinking is that, you know, Americans tend to think we can do it. And maybe we're not sure how we can do it yet, but we can do it. We will find a way. That's kind of like the general spirit that Americans, you know, tend to have, right? And I think that I grew up kind of developing that kind of mindset naturally. You might say a positive thinking mindset, but just like trying to see the possibilities, focusing on the possibilities rather than the risks or how things might go wrong. So that, I think, definitely played a big role in my just like finally saying, you know, let's do it. Let's see how it goes.
I'm pretty sure when you were living in Japan and you told your friends and, you know, your people close around you about the decision that you were making, they probably thought that, one, either you were crazy, or two, they're like, yappari soui toko amerikajin nanda ne, っていうふうに思われたのかもしれないね。
あの、もったいないはよく言われた。
あ、もったいないね。
もったいないは言われた。でも、救いだったのは、救いだったのは、多分二つ救いが、今、パッと思い出せることで、二つ大きな、あの、励みになった言葉があって、一つは父親が、あ、いいじゃん、面白いじゃん。って言ってくれた。
素晴らしいね。
すごい、すごい救われた。あともう一つは、大学で仲良かった友達が、彼は日本で生まれ育ったのに、すごくこう、ベンチャー精神があって、彼がもう自分で起業するって決めてて、大学のね、仲良しな同期で、彼も就職活動しようと思えばもう全然いいとこ行けたと思うんだけど、彼も自分で会社やるって言って、早々と決めて。で、あ、いいねって言って、じゃあ自分もこれやろうかな。で、ある時ちょっと自分は不安になり始めて、あ、やっぱりちょっとやめようかな。ちょっと弱気なこと言い始めた。そしたらその時にその友達が、ノブ何言ってんだよ。これやれって言ったじゃん。って、しっかりしろよ。って言ってくれた。そこで、あ、そうだった。自分はこれやりたいと思って、ね、就職活動しないで自分の道を歩む。決めたじゃないか。で、そこでハッと目が覚めて、まあ、それ以来もう迷うこと一切なかったですね。だから彼の、言葉はすごく大きかった。
ねえ。いや、でもね、なんかね、ノブさんもね、今言ってたけど、周りからね、もったいないねって言われる、その意味もわかるけど、でもやっぱ今になってこう振り返ると、その選択肢しか見えていないっていうのもなんかもったいない感じがするよね。だって結局はもうこのレールから外れたらダメですよっていう風なやっぱ考え方を持っていると大学卒業したらもう基本的にはもう you only have one path to take, right? But I think the older you get, the more you realize there are millions of paths
exactly
that you can
yeah.
take. And yes. the path of working for a company is just one option
yes.
of
yes.
the hundreds that you can
yes.
choose from.
Yes.
And the fact that many people don't see that, to me, feels a bit mottainai. You know what I'm saying?
No, exactly. Yeah. No, exactly. I think that's why, as a teacher, one of my kind of philosophies, I guess you would say, is...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I try to encourage my students to, whenever, even when they're speaking or writing an essay, you know, they're expressing themselves. I don't care if they use like these fancy idioms or, you know, whatever. It's, for me, it's more about expressing what they truly feel or what they really want to do, or like, it's about them, again, being true to who they really are and like not being afraid to say that. So I often encourage my students to express their true selves. Like, mm-hmm. And I think that comes from this feeling that that's how I arrived here. Mm-hmm. And the reason why I'm teaching you right now today is because I stuck with who I was. And it, I think it's very important for, you know, just like having a very meaningful and fulfilling life. And so I think I want to, especially because how in Japan, we kind of, you know, people don't always, aren't always, that option is not always available to them, mm-hmm. that way of thinking, just because, as you mentioned, we have this kind of track that
yeah.
is set. So I think I'm here to try to kind of like, you know, gently get them to see that that's not the only way, that, you know, who, what's your real self like? You
mm-hmm.
know, and trying to like assure them that it's okay to be that person.
Yeah.
Because you know? I think it could open up a lot of new doors in life.
And I want to touch on that point a little bit more, dive deep a yeah. little bit into it, because I am probably on the exact same page as you in mm-hmm. terms of that. Is, mm-hmm. やっぱ 自分の表現の仕方, right? And when you're mm-hmm. learning a language, you know, you want to use expressions that you learn from your teacher or from your mm-hmm. school or from any YouTube videos. You want to use expressions that make you sound like a native speaker.
Yes.
You want to use idioms because, you know, mm-hmm. it makes you sound like a better speaker. But the question comes down to is that what you really want to say? Is that what you really yeah. feel? Are you using that expression just to use it?
You're right. Yeah.
Or are there other things that you really want to say? And maybe mm-hmm. the way you express it might sound like quote unquote Japanese English, mm-hmm. where native dattara zettai ni sou iu hyougen no shikata shinai yo tte iu no ga iu koto ni taishite chotto. And maybe they're a little bit nervous, right? So mm-hmm. it's always better to use expressions that maybe American people use or Australian mm-hmm. people use. Dakedo native no kankaku kara ieru no wa, the coolest thing about communicating with people from around the world is that they express the same thing in a different way. Now, American 人だったら こういうふうに表現するけど、ヨーロッパの人は同じ目の前に起こっている同じことをこういう表現の仕方をするんだっていうので、It's refreshing. It's something that I don't get. And that's what I love about language, right? 日本語もやっぱ同じで、もちろんイディオムを使うのもいいことだと思うし、ネイティブが使う表現を使うのも素晴らしいことだと思うんだけど、日本人の感覚で、それをそのまんま英語にして自分が思っていることを表現することって本当に悪いことなのかなって思うんだよね、いつも。ノブさんはその点どう思う？
いや、本当に同じ。だからね、やっぱり、憧れを持つっていうのはすごくいいことで、だからネイティブみたいに話したいという憧れを持つのはすごいいいことだと思う。やっぱり目標としてね。で、やっぱり、憧れがあると頑張れるし、純粋なこのワクワクっていうのは人のすごい素敵な気持ちだと思うから、ネイティブみたいな話したいなっていう気持ちはいいと思うんですよね。ただ、その気持ちがね、結果的に憧れが強すぎるとかして、イコール自分がだから、あ、これの自分じゃダメだ。みたいな気持ちにつながっちゃうと、良くないと思うんですよね。憧れっていうのは自分を引き上げてくれるものであって、それを見て、ああ、やっぱ自分はダメって、自分を下ろすものじゃないから、そこはすごい気をつけたいなと思ってて、で、日本の英語を見てると、ひょっとしたらね、いろんなその業界の煽りっていうか、ネイティブはこうやって言わないよって言ってね、ちょっと不安を煽ってるのが影響しちゃってるのかもしれないけど、まあ、いわゆるなんか、ちょっとネイティブ信仰みたいになって、こうじゃないともうダメみたいな風潮があるように思うんですよね。そうすると、こう普通の、何の問題のない英語を話してるのに、これでいいのかな？これじゃなんか幼稚な英語に聞こえないかな？なんかもっとネイティブはかっこいい方するはずみたいになって話せなくなっちゃう。で、もうそれで全く問題ないのに、素敵な英語なのに、これじゃダメって勝手に自分で思って、どんどん話せなくなっちゃう。そういう、やっぱり、危険性があると思うんですよね。だから僕は、今すごく関心を持ってるのが、特にアメリカに来て、いろんな非ネイティブの英語を見て、やっぱりこうだと思うのが、やっぱり日本人はあくまでも非ネイティブであって、もうそれが自然の自分じゃないですか。日本人ってネイティブ。英語のネイティブじゃないので、あくまでも外国語非ネイティブなので、それがもうありのままなので、まずはそこを、非ネイティブとして堂々と優しい英語でもいいからそれをパッと堂々と本当に自然に使える。まずその状態でやっぱり自信を持って使えるって大事だと思うんですよね。いつも、あ、これネイティブ言うかな言わないかなっていうよりは、やっぱりこっちの非ネイティブ見てるといろんな間違いするけど、やっぱり堂々としてるんですよね。あ、やっぱりそっちの方がよっぽど魅力的に映るし、自信たっぷりだから伝わるし、コミュニケーションもうまくいく。そういったなんか日本人の非ネイティブとしての日本人っていうのを肯定的にと意味でね、こうそういったなんか理想の日本人の英語みたいなのをなんかこう発信できたらいいなと思ってるんですよね。で、その先にね、それを追求していけば自然とネイティブの英語に近づいていくから、なんかそんな感じで行くとなんかいいなって思うんですよね。だから憧れを持つのはいいけど、いきなりそこ突然なれるわけじゃないから、僕もなんかバイリンガルに憧れて、あるいはフリーで生活できることに憧れて、で、突然ね、ベストセラー著者になったとかじゃないから、こうたま、ね、積み重ねで、結果的に気づいたらなんかそうなってたみたいなところだと思うんですよね。だからなんかなんか自分を、今の自分を肯定的に捉える、大事だなって思います。
Exactly.Because I think what ends up happening in a lot of cases is that you express yourself using a certain expression, and then you wonder, what do other people think about the word that I just used right now, right? So that's where the focus is yes. It's not about how do I feel, it's more about,what do other people think about the word that I used right now? Yes. And when you really look at the core of communication, people don't really care that much about the word that you use. Yes. You know, we are using so many words in a sentence. It's very hard to pinpoint just one word that you use every single time. And the essence of communication really is about learning how to express yourself. And if there is a word out there that you learn that really, really aligns with how you are feeling, you should use it. But you shouldn't like use a word just so that you sound cool or you sound like a native English speaker, because now you're just waiting for outside appraisal and outside approval of your English language. And if you play that game, you will never win, because there is always going to be somebody out there that is going to criticize your English ability, right?
Yeah.
And that's why it always has to start within, like you said. Just to maybe put one more point to this, I think one of the major reasons why a lot of students feel this way is because in most cases, especially people who, Japanese people who live in Japan, the only real opportunity they get to speak English is through Eikaiwa lessons, whether that's online lessons or going to an Eikaiwa school. And when you speak English to a tutor or an English teacher, their job is to fix your English. Their job is to provide you with feedback. Their job is to give you alternate expressions to make you sound like a better speaker. And that is why you pay money, is because they provide you with feedback. But when you step outside of a school and you live in another country, or you go out and you mingle with friends from all over the world, nobody provides feedback. As a matter of fact, nobody even really cares, you know, if you're making grammatical mistakes here and there. But if you are, if you only put yourself in a situation where you are constantly getting feedback from teachers, then you think that's what English, speaking English is all about, is that you speak English, you get correction. You speak English, you get correction. But you have to break out of it. And once you step outside of the school setting and you meet people and you talk to people, in the beginning, you worry. You're like, I wonder if he or she understood me. I wonder if the language I used was okay. But then the longer you hang out with people, the more you realize, oh, it doesn't really matter. Like, what's important is to communicate with people. Yes. So I always try to encourage my students to step out of the school setting and just go talk to people. And that's the beauty of living in LA or New York or any international city, is you meet so many people from so many different parts of the world with so many different types of accents. And sometimes I can hardly understand what they're saying. They're saying with so much confidence, and they're expressing certain things that we never do as Americans, but nobody cares. I mean, we're here in the United States, and we are just having a good time trying to communicate with each other, you know? And
That's a great way to put it.
That's
a great way to put it. I like how you said that. We're just here having a good time communicating.
Yeah,
that's, that really is the essence. Like, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong impression that, ah, 文法とか関係ない、語彙関係ない. That's not it, because the aim is to communicate. So if, you know, there are certain rules, obviously, that you have to follow, like grammatical rules. You know, you can't just suddenly talk, you know, in the Japanese language order, you know. So there are basic rules that you just have to follow to communicate. But I want to just assure our audience that みんなが思ってるほど本当に相手は気にしてない. わかればいい。本当にそう。わかればいい。だからコミュニケーションできればいい。本当にそこしか気にしてないので、実際。だから have fun communicating. 本当にそこに尽きるなって思いました。
And following up on that, ね、でもやっぱり例えば、やっぱノブさんが今言ったみたいに、じゃあだからといって、その文法とかそういうのは重要ではないよっていう話ではなく、Of course you need foundation. You have to be able to, you know, structure sentences and string words together so that people understand. You can't just be like water or like food or like, you know, then of course you will be understood, but there is going to be a bit of a miscommunication happening. So you definitely want to set a good foundation. And speaking of foundation, Nobu, you know, I know that is, you know, something that is kind of like your bread and butter. You've really have made an emphasis through your teaching that 中学で学ぶ英語だけでも結構コミュニケーションって取れるんですよ。And had bestsellers based on how to properly use 中学英語. So I want to kind of get into this whole like 中学英語 topic.
Sure.
実際にやっぱり、まあ、中学生、日本語で言うと中1、2、3だよね。3年間の中学校で学ぶ英語。これってしっかり押さえておけば、やっぱ日常会話で通用する内容なんですか？
いや、definitely 通用します。特にアメリカに来てからは、もう確信しています。中学英語のベース。まあ中学英語と、まあそこにプラスアルファ、中学英語をその都度応用していく感覚。で、からもう本当に中学、シンプルな英語を、流暢に、パッとこう、流暢に応用できるっていうのがポイントだと思ってるんですけど、これでも一つね、すごい大事なことがあって、だから、まあ会話って考えたときに、二つのスキルがあって、会話って、話すとか書くの、これアウトプット、発信と、聞く、読むの、理解、インプット系があるじゃないですか。で、この両方必要ですよね。会話って聞くこともあるし、話すことも。両方大事と。だから、勉強するときはやっぱ、この二つ別のスキルをちゃんと区別することが大事だと思っていて、で、僕がよく言う中学英語で十分っていうのは、話すことにおいては、本当に優しい英語で、ちゃんとそれを自分が思っていることと、例えば、例えばさっきの自己紹介だったら、I grew up in、United States until 18. I attended university in Japan. And I spent 20 years in Japan. I started my own business. I met my wife and I have two kids now. And 3 years ago, I decided to come back to the United States to give my family a chance to live overseas. And also because I wanted to upgrade my own skills as an English teacher. まあ、みたいな、今、簡単に自己紹介しましたけど、これ全部中学英語。で、もう本当に僕のこの本とかで学ぶ文法を組み合わせて、でも何を今やったかって、簡単な文法、当たり前な文法を、その場で、こう即興で組み合わせて応用する。この力が大事なんですよね。で、これがあれば、もうどんどん話せます。で、これが、まあ、話す系ね。だから中学英語で十分話せる。中学英語の文法をベースに、まあ、その都度必要な単語を覚えて、単語はね、ないと話せないから、まあ、必要な単語をその都度覚えていけばいい。一方で、聞くとか読むってことになると、これはもう、相手にコントロールがあって、自分はコントロールできないから、ネイティブは、ネイティブのどんどん表現使ってくるので、実際。となると、話を、会話の理解するためには、やっぱり、幅広い語彙とか、早い英語。例えば、Yeah, I decided to move back to the States 3 years ago because I just wanted to have new experiences. みたいな、こう、ポロって言われた時に、やっぱりこの崩した発音にも慣れておかないといけない。教材英語の発音のままじゃちょっと対応できないっていうのが現実としてあるんですね。だから何が言いたいかというと、リスニングするためには、自分では使えなくていいんだけど、知識として聞いてわかるような語彙はやっぱり幅広い守備範囲を広く持つとか、あ、そっか、ネイティブは早口になるとこうやって音崩してくるんだっていうのはやっぱり練習しておかないといけない。自分ではそうやって言えなくていい。自分ではゆっくり、Hi, my name is Nobu. I'm an English teacher and a writer. みたいな、ゆっくりで全然 OK。話すときはね。だから話すと聞くは違う、別物。みたいな感覚でやると、やっぱりもっとうまくいくかなと思っています。
なるほどね。That makes a lot of sense. 言われたらね、そうだよねってね、すごくわかるんだけど、でも本当確かにね、その中学英語 をしっかりと、you have to separate them. You have the speaking aspect and you have the listening aspect. And of course, it's a textbook. So in a textbook, they're not going to have examples of native speakers and their informal way of speaking in a textbook. You know, it's just not the way it is.
Yes.
But the context and the expressions and the structure that they provide in the book is more than enough for you to express yourself in English, yes. right?
Yes. And but, also the English that native speakers use is all based on the stuff that you learn here. It's all just about combining different, you know, grammars and putting different words on top of that grammar. And then here and there, you know, native speakers will throw in like a phrasal verb or idiom. So you just simply, you just need to have knowledge of those words. Otherwise, you know, you just won't know. So those you should just like memorize basically.
Right.
You know, whatever way you have, just like, you just need to know the words. But again, simply understanding and being able to use that yourself, two different skills. And being able to use it yourself is kind of hard.
Right.
But just to know the meaning is not that hard, actually.
It's not that hard. Yeah.
Yeah. So just like that's, so that's the mindset I want to get people in. Like, you know, just try to have knowledge of a wide range of vocabulary. You don't have to be able to use it. Just like kind of know what it means, because it'll help your listening immensely. Just to even have like a little grasp of what it might mean. So yeah, that's the, just a very practical tip that I often give my students.
And like flexibility too, right? I think like sometimes what I do find is that there is a rule that you learn, or there's like a response that you have to a certain situation, and it almost like a rule that never changes. Like you must follow this rule. For example, the classic, you know, the how are you, I'm fine, thank you kind of response, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the truth is, I'm fine, thank you is really not a bad response.
Yeah.
People say, oh, I'm doing all right, I'm fine. You know, that's something that people say all the time. It's not a mistake by any stretch of the imagination at all. And, you know, for people to say that I'm fine is wrong, that is a wrong statement in itself, right?
Yes.
But I think, you know, as an English learner, what you do have to understand is that some people say I'm fine. Some people say I'm good. Some people said I'm doing great. Some people says not great. You know, there's going to be a million different responses to the question, how are you? And you don't have to, it's not like an answer to like a math question where you only have one possible solution. And, having that flexibility and understanding that maybe in these types of situations, these types of responses are more commonly used, or like in these types of like, you know, this part of the country or this type, this generation will respond using this type of language. Having like that flexibility and understanding makes a big difference, you know?
Yes.
And like, I think to me, when it comes to like, being a native speaker. And I think the reason why it's really difficult for really a non-native speaker to become a native speaker is because when you are a native speaker, you have the ability to change the way you speak depending on who your audience is, right? And when you learn a language as a second language, you are kind of learning it one way, one pattern from a book. And then through experience, you learn variations and, you know, informal language. But when you grow up with the language, if I am speaking with somebody that grew up in Los Angeles around my age range, the way I speak and the way language that I use is going to be like somebody that is from this area. But if I am speaking with somebody who is from New York that is 20 years older than me, then the language that I use with that person is going to be completely different than somebody that I'm speaking to that is around my same age. Same, you know, like my close friends that I grew up since high school. If I spoke like that in my podcast or to you, you guys might think I am uneducated. You know, like the word that we use is just, so I guess what I'm trying to say is, like, when you are a native speaker, you have the ability to pick and choose the way you express yourself, because it's not a written rule. It's not a rule saying, like, in this particular situation, use this language. It's feel. It's through experience. It's through talking to somebody, knowing that if I use this language with this person, he will understand it a little bit better. We will connect at a deeper level, because language is what connects people all together. So just, you know, my general thoughts on being a native speaker.
でもそういうことだと思うんだよね。あのね、そういうことだと思う。そう。だからやっぱり最初いきなりそれはね、日本人の学習者にやっぱり求めちゃいけないと思うんですよね。で、それをやりすぎるとやっぱり本当に固まっちゃうから、それはもっと後でこういうこともできるとさらにもっと深いちょっと距離感縮めることもできるみたいな良さはあるけど、その全然手前のところで、まあざっくりこういう時はこういうフレーズよく使うよ、こういう時はこういうの使う、こういう時はまあこういうの使えるよ、まあ簡単だね、そのレパートリーがあればもう十分やっていけるから、注文するときは例えばあの Give me coffee とか Coffee please じゃなくて Can I have a large coffee、 まあ例えばQuestion form ね、疑問形にして言った方がもっと丁寧みたいな、I'd like to みたいなちょっと希望を言いたいときは、I want to よりはやっぱり I'd like to 使った方がいいよねとか、あのちょっと遠慮気味にお願いしたいときは、Do you think you could help me out with this みたいな、なんかそういったぐらいのそれ程度のこういう場面でこういうっていうのを抑えておけば、あとはもうその都度今おっしゃったみたいに。経験を通して、あ、なるほど、こういうのもあるんだ。
経験を通してね、こういうことですよ、ね。
そう。でもなんか手前はもう全然、あの、そんな、必要ないっていうかね、基礎的なところでも十分本当にやっていけるから。
いや、本当にね、その通りだと思うんですよ。うん、やっぱ注文するときもね、ファストフード店で注文するのか、うん、ちょっとね、あの、高級な、おしゃれ、ね、ちょっとおしゃれた店に行ったときに、こう、周りの雰囲気を見てね、なんかみんながいい格好する中で、多分注文するときっていうのは、こうマクドナルドの店員さんに注文する自分の喋り方と、ちょっとおしゃれした店にね、注文する自分の喋り方って、絶対違うはずなんだよね、ここっていうのは。うん。だからやっぱり、そういう点では、さっきね、ノブさんが言ったみたいに、まあ、いくつかのパターンを覚えておけばいい。で、そこからやっぱネイティブの人たちっていうのは、またそこからその自分のオリジナルな、そのね、喋り方とかね、もちろんその地域差とかもあるとは思うけれど、That's the beauty of the language is that everybody has their own way of speaking. Coming back to the point of, だったら日本人も日本人らしい英語を広めて喋ればいいんじゃないのかなっていうのがね、いつも僕の考え方なんだけどね。
そうそうそう。だからなんか多分ね、僕はあの、それを伝えるために、その中学英語がなんかシンプルな、もう中学よりいいよって言えば、まあ一つのもう出発点と台。あ、そうか、この範囲でできればとりあえずいいんだ、十分なんだ。でもちろんその先もっといける人はどんどんやってほしいけど、なんか一言で、あ、中学でもいける言えるとね、やっぱりすごくわかりやすいと思うんですよね。で、実際それ嘘じゃなくて、あの本当にそうなので、ただ中学英語はね、だから使える状態にしたいから、さっき話したみたいに、じゃあスピーキング力上げたいんだったら、やっぱりね、パパッとね、あの応用できる力は必要だから、やっぱ普段からね、ちょっと即興で話す練習をパパッと流暢に話す練習をやっぱりした方がいいし、リスニングだったら同じ中学英語でも結構早い発音でババって言われると、やっぱちょっと戸惑ったりするから、やっぱりその早い発音慣れておこうみたいなね、その使える状態にしなくちゃいけないっていうのはもちろんあるだけど、あくまでもこれがベースになっているので、うん、なんかそういう気持ちでやっていくとすごくあのいいと思います。
で、実際に、例えば今このポッドキャストを聞いている、英語学習者の人たちが、じゃあ、そうだね、やっぱ中学英語からやり直そう。でも実際にじゃあ、中学英語からやり直したいけれど、どこからスタートしていいかわからないっていうちょっと疑問を持っている人たちに、まあもちろんね、ノブさんが書いた中学英語一つ一つ分かりやすくから多分スタートするのがベストなんだけど、まあ例えばこの本プラス実際にこの中学英語からスタートをこれからしたいですって思っている人たちに、その第一歩としてどういうアドバイスを、
やっぱりね、 まあ今少し即興で話すって話をしたんですけど、僕の今の一押しは、なんか一周回ってここにもう行き着いたっていうのが、やっぱり話す練習ですね。即興で話す練習。例えば練習するときに、まあ日記を書くとかあるし、まあちょっと日本語から英語に訳す。このまま最初いいと思うんですけど、やっぱり、英語を話すっていうのは、もうその場で思いついたことを話すっていうのが会話じゃないですか。だからやっぱりそれをもう最初から練習するのがいいです。で、いや、そんなの私には無理と思うかもしれないけど、いやいや、中1だったら中1のレベルで簡単に、例えば、Today I made curry.、
うん、
the curry was spicy,、but it was good. I also had,、seafood salad with my curry. I was happy because the kids enjoyed it.みたいな、すごい簡単な文でも言えるわけじゃないですか。だから、僕が一押しでおすすめして、本当に英語学習がうまくいくって、いろんな生徒さん見てて感じるのが、この、事前に準備しないで、その場で話す練習をする。で、これはもう、例えば、20秒でいい、最初。あるいは10秒でもいいかもしれない。その場で思ったことを英語で話してみる。で、書くよりも話すのが効果が高いって感じてます。なんでかっていうと、やっぱり、思ったことをすぐに言ってみるっていうこの感覚なので、これをなんか、いや、私は無理ってやっちゃうと、じゃあいつになったら大丈夫なのみたいになってきちゃうから、うんうん、いや、今の文法とか単語のなりに、今もすぐ話せることはあるから、それをどんどんやっちゃおう。
うん。
これが僕の今のおすすめです。だから、自分の思ってることとかやってること、自分のことを簡単な英語でいきなり話す練習をする。で、最初は10秒でいい。で、慣れてきたら20秒話せるようになって、30秒話せるようになってきて、どんどん自然と長くなってくるから、
うん、
これが今、僕一番おすすめしてる方法ですね。
I love that. Yeah, and I think part of a good practice with that is that you become mindful of your surroundings. You become aware, right? Because a lot of the times we're very busy thinking about what to do next.But it kind of gives you an opportunity to like stop, slow down, notice your surroundings. 周りのことを見て気づいたことをパッと英語で言う。Or you just take a moment and be like, あ、ちょっと疲れてるな。And just say this out loud. Like, I'm a little tired today. 昨日寝不足だったからかな。早く寝ないとな。You know, maybe I didn't sleep enough last night. You know, I gotta start getting to bed earlier. なんかこういう自分が思っていることって、気づいているようで気づいていない。And like giving yourself this training not only allows you to practice speaking English, but you start listening to yourself. And I think that's a really important practice for like self-awareness and mindfulness, right?
That's a great point. And what one of my students yesterday, Chu Zaying student,He mentioned something that really made my day. So it had been 1 week since I, you know, got them to start this training. So every day, just like in the shower or when they're driving, like whenever, the point is just not even think that you're speaking English. Just like say something. And after a week, so he comes into the lesson yesterday and I'm like, hey, you know, how's it going?You're practicing. He's like, hey, you know what? Just this morning, I was driving to work and I noticed that I was thinking about my meeting and I was thinking in English, what I was going to say. Before he would think in Japanese, but suddenly he's driving. He's like, just English comes up.
Like, wow. That's amazing. Directly. Yeah.
And why that happened is because like, you know, he would be drinking maybe,Have a coffee and then, その瞬間思ったこと、構えない。事前に構えてこれ言おうよとかじゃなくて、もうその瞬間思ったことをただただ英語にする。
うん、
そうすると、やっぱバッチリリンクするんですよね。で、その練習をしてると、その駐在員の彼みたいに、運転しながらふと思ったことがもういきなり最初から英語で出始める。だから、 なんかすごくその事前にか、なんか内容を決めすぎないとか、事前に構えないっていうのが多分ポイントで、その瞬間本当に思ったことをただただ、もう優しい英語でいいから、本当に、I like, なんたら、Today I saw 誰々、本当に簡単なことでもいいから、まずはそこ、ふと思ったことを英語と結びつけて言ってみる。これでも本当になんかもう英語の方が目覚める感じがします。
I love that, man. I think I'm going to probably use this method of yours and share it with my followers as well, because I feel like it's
amazing. Yeah. It's amazing. It's truly amazing. It took me 20 years to discover this.
And, you know, on top of that, right, when you start doing this, you start realizing, あれ、これ英語でなんて言うんだろうっていう疑問が出てくるんだよね。And then now, instead of like learning from a textbook passively,You are becoming an active learner where you're like, oh, I want to say this in English, but I don't know the English word. Of course, you can look it up on the spot if you want, or you could just jot it down and look it up later. And then you start compiling these lists of expressions that are very specific to you and your lifestyle that you can use every day. And these are like real English expressions that you'll probably not forget because... You are the one that wanted to know how to use
it. Exactly. No, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. And they, I mean, this is like scientifically proven as well in linguistics. Output するとインプットの質が上がる。That's like the principle. And that's precisely because you're like in the driver's seat and you want to know. So whenever you're exposed to certain expression, you're like, aha, oh, cool. Oh, suddenly you're like,active and that can make all the difference.
Oh, Nobu, there is just still like a million things I want to ask you, but you know, I think we're winding down with time here a little bit. I just got two more questions I want to ask you before we wrap up our session today. I know you're working on a lot of things right now, but in terms of you personally and professionally, what are some immediate goals that you have? You know, 直近の目的とか挑戦したいこととか、まあ、もしくはなんか将来的なビジョンとかあったらそういうのをぜひシェアしてください。
わかりました。そうですね。最初に冒頭にちらっと話した、まあ40代はあのアメリカに過ごしたいなっていうのがあって、それはもう英語講師としての自分自身のやっぱり、まあ、ネイティブの自分、っていうのをまた確立するためで、あの、なんか、ある意味、だから、簡単に言えるけど、まあ、チャレンジはいろいろあって、まあ、例えば、リアルな話すると、日本に比べて、アメリカはだいぶ生活費も高いとかね。だから、
これ。特にニューヨークはね、
超高い。そうそう。だから、やっぱりね、やっぱり、この夢を叶えたいっていうのはあって、だから、その頑張りたいっていうのはあるんですけど、だから、それはまあ、個人的な話ですけど、で、子供たちもここで育って、で、やっぱり、あくまでもルーツは日本なので、子供たちもアメリカで育つけれども、アメリカで育ったとか、まあ、海外で育った日本人。そんなアイデンティティを作っていきたいなっていうのが、まあ、個人的な目標ですね、40代。で、まあ、50代は日本に戻ってるイメージがちょっとあって、で、やっぱり日本に、まあ、僕はアメリカとかで、学んで吸収したことは、やっぱり日本の英語にまた、どんどん還元していきたいというのがあって、まあ具体的にはさっきも話にちょっと上がりましたけど、やっぱりその、非ネイティブとしての日本人の英語を、やっぱりその、なんかダサいみたいなイメージが今ちょっとあるかもしれないけど、そうじゃなくて本当に、いや、これでいいんだって、堂々と楽しく自信を持って、英語を話す日本人っていうのを増やしたいんですよね。で、それはもうネイティブにならないとダメって思ってる限りは絶対、それ無理なので、やっぱり、やっぱ今の、さっきの多分僕共通のテーマがいつもあって、自然体の自分の本来の自分っていうのを受け入れて、そこからスタートするっていうのが、もう僕の多分そもそもの生き方でもあるんだけど、英語でも多分すごい大事で、つまり日本人は、まあ何よりまず非ネイティブであると。で、それをいい意味で受け入れて、そこでね、力つける。で、まあ、僕の場合は中学英語をちゃんとこう、さっきやった即興みたいにね、あの、パパッと使える。で、自分の本当に思っていることとリンクさせて、パパッと使える。優しい言葉でもいいから。それが僕の考える日本人の、非ネイティブの日本人の素敵な英語の姿なんですよ。だからそういうのをちょっと広めたい。で、持っていきたい人はどんどんネイティブ目指してね、あの憧れの気持ちを ね、モチベーションにどんどん頑張ってほしいし、応援したい。でもなんかそんな気持ちがあるんですよね。だから日本人にそういった新しい、これまでちょっとまだどこを目指していいかわからない日本人が多いと思うんですよね。だから何もないからやっぱりネイティブみたいになるけれども、で、もちろんそれ否定してるわけじゃないんだけど、やっぱりその手前のね、今もっと広く日本人が、今すぐもっとね、楽しく英語をこう身につけて、本当にこう人生豊かにする方法があると思うので、なんかそこら辺をもっと広めたいなっていうのがありますね。だからもちろん40代のアメリカいるうちもやるんだけど、まあ、僕のライフワークとして、そういうのをずっとやっていきたいと思っています。
Beautifully said, man. I love it. Yeah. So, the first step, start with Nobu. And then, once you graduate from Nobu, then you can come to Hapa Eikaiwa. I feel like that's the step right there, right?
いいね、いいね。You know, it's, I mean, like, あながち、それはね、あれかもしれない。ただのジョークじゃないかもしれない。
yeah,
I would love to, like, I think like, and it's kind of interesting because like, I'm on the East Coast, you're on the West Coast, and it's kind of like this kind of, you know, kind of opposites, but you know, the same. And yeah, no, I would love to kind of keep doing this kind of stuff. I really enjoyed our chat. And I think, you know, we're on the same page on so many important
For sure. I mean, today was really the first time I really got an opportunity, not really got an opportunity. Today was the first time that I met you via Zoom and spoke to you. This was our very first time chatting with each other before we recorded this podcast. We spoke for about 20 minutes and then we went right into the interview. But man, I feel like I've known you for years. I feel like I'm talking to one of my buddies and
I know. No, it's.
This is amazing. I love it.
Oh, this is amazing, really. Yeah.
And one final question that I ask every single person that comes on is kind of a random question, but if you could put up a message on the Shibuya Crossing billboard for everyone to see, what would that message be?
Okay. I see. No, I have a message.
This you have something a message.
I have a message. So again, it's going to be related to the things I've said, but it's be kind to yourself.
Love that.
This really is. No, this is like, I think it's so important. And like, ね、まあ、日本人は特に自分に厳しいっていうのもあるけど、なんか、もっと自分に優しくしよう。甘ったれるなって思う人もいると思うんですよね。で、まあ、場合によってはまあそう言えなくもないのかもしれない。But whatever. でも、何かこう、チャレンジがあったり、困難があったり、挫折があったりしたときに、もちろん、甘ったれるなって突き放すこともできるけど、でも実際多分ね、人って、自分に優しくして、この、挫折してる自分、あるいはちょっと今もがいてる自分、つまずいてる自分も、やっぱり、あ、今のありのままの自分なんだって、一旦やっぱり受け入れるっていうか、ありのまま、今これが今の自分。って、もうジャッジもせずにね。いや、これが今の自分。そうやって言って受け入れてあげる。例えば、親友が同じように困ってたら多分、しっかりしろ、甘ったれるなって、親友に言わないと思うんですよね。あ、そうだったんだ。大変だったね。多分、寄り添ってあげると思うんですけど、同じことをね、自分自身に、すると、ほら、そこから不思議と次の、よし、じゃあ頑張ろうっていうパワーが出てきたりね、勇気が出てきたり、そこから、その、乗り越えていく力って湧いてくるものだと思うんですよね。だからなんかまずはそうやって自分をそのありのままっていうかね、それをこう受け入れる。で、特にこう辛い時ほど自分に優しくするっていうのが実は突破する、大事なことなのかななんて、思ってるんですよね。というわけで be kind to yourself.
Be kind to yourself. It's such a simple message. Yeah, there's so much power behind this, right? Because when it really comes down to it, if you cannot be kind to yourself, you really cannot be kind to other people. Maybe superficially you can, but deep down inside, it starts with you, right? And like you mentioned in your example, if you are the kind of person you are to yourself and you're very strict, imagine that being your friend. I mean, that's a terrible friend to have, you know? That's a terrible friend to have. And I think the older I get, the more I'm starting to like really understand and realize is that the best friend you're ever going to have your entire life is yourself. You know, people come and go. Of course, you might have a spouse, but at the end of the day, you are your best friend, and you have to be able to be kind to yourself. Yes. Like you mentioned, it's not an easy thing to do, but you know, that's
why I want to just put it up there. Everybody, you know, remind yourself. It's important stuff. I mean, and it's easy to just like brush it off saying, you know, but I think for me, at least, it's one of the most important messages I could give myself. So, you know, I wanted to share that.
Excellent.
With everybody. Yeah.
So Nobu, if my listeners today want to find out what you're up to, what's the best way for them to see what you're doing?
Yeah. So, I would say my Instagram page is where I do most of my posting. I do have like a small YouTube page, but I'm still working on that. I would say Instagram. Yeah, please feel free to, you know, friend me and message me, or, you know, let's hook up. And this is kind of who I am. I like to talk and connect and just have a good time communicating, right? After all, that is what English is about. Yep. And just have fun learning, right? Learning should be fun and enriching, right? So that's kind of really my message, and just how I am and how I hope to enjoy English with our community. So
So if you guys are interested, Nobu is on Instagram. You can find him at @Nobu_English. That's correct, right? Nobu_English. Yes. You'll get a lot of good stuff. So make sure you check out his Instagram. And Nobu, I didn't even get to go through all the questions that I had ready for you today. And we're like almost about to hit an hour and a half right now.
Oh, really?
We're going to have to definitely do round two, because there are a lot of topics we could really dive into. And
it's
amazing. Lot of similarities in terms of background and the way we see things in terms of like learning. Let's do this again, man. I really enjoyed
definitely.
It.
I would like to pick your brains more too. Definitely. You've had lots of experiences I have never had. Mm-hmm. It would just make for a very interesting conversation, hopefully for our listeners, but also for myself as well. And just like, it was just a real pleasure. So thank you.
Thank you. And to everybody, don't forget, I'm sure you guys have seen it, heard of it, but if you don't have a copy yet, check out his bestseller, Shugaku Eigo o Hitotsu Wakariyasuku. There it is right there. Mo Ichido, and that's probably the newest one right there, right?
No, this is the, so there's like a Chuichi, Chuni, Chusan, Kobetsu no yatsu mo aru ndakedo, kore wa 3 nen bun ga mo isatsu. So, dakara otona ga mo ichido
subarashii
wo matomete manabi naosu tame no 3学年が1まとまりになってる。
ピンク色でめっちゃかわいいです。Make sure you guys check it out. I'll have it on my show notes, guys. If you guys want to get a link to that, it will be on the show notes today. Nobu, thank you very much. That was a lot of fun. Let's do it again.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Jun.
I hope you guys enjoyed our conversation today. You can find all of Nobu's information on the show notes. So if you're interested, check it out on hapaekaiwa.com. Also, my interview with Nobu is available on my YouTube channel. If you guys would like to watch the interview, please visit the Hapa Eikaiwa YouTube channel. 今日の会話を楽しんでいただけましたか？ Nobu さんの情報はすべて Hapa Eikaiwa のブログに掲載していますので、興味のある方はぜひ hapaeikaiwa.com をチェックしてください。また、Nobu さんとのインタビューは私の YouTube チャンネルでご視聴いただけますので、インタビューをご覧になりたい方は、パパ英会話の YouTube チャンネルをチェックしてください。Thanks for listening today. You guys have an awesome day, and I will catch you again next week. Take it easy. Peace.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.